It's the plan.
I said, I'll ask for tonight, you will see. Yes, you said you did.
What's your thoughts, sir?
Coda's hanging up in there.
Jack said he wanted to do this,
I don't need it in here, it's warm in here, dog.
I'm just seeing it, he didn't say that.
And I am praying that I'm okay to take her back.
Did you take medicine?
I'll drive all the way.
She can drive. And you can stay until you get there.
Yes, no.
I'm just giving you options, I don't want you to take. You're gonna be asleep, you're not gonna. You don't trust me.
I bet your ass too sometimes.
I just left there.
That's. The nurse. No, he was out here.
She does okay, but.
I'm telling you, you guys.
I was gonna tell you, Jay had finally called the name.
Who did?
Oh, good. He led.
He said he's gonna be here tonight.
Good evening, everyone. The first song selection that we will sing this evening, Rejoice in the Lord Always. This is song 875. If there's anyone following along in our hymnals this evening. 875, really short song. We'll sing through this song twice. Rejoice in the Lord Always.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice, 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 again I say rejoice.
The song that we will sing before we're led in our opening prayer this evening, Watch and Pray. This is song 720 for anyone following along in our hymnals. Watch and Pray, song 720. After this song, we will go to our God in prayer.
chant, pray for the Lord is coming, coming in the clouds someday. Wash your robes in the cleansing fountain, watch, oh, watch and pray. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray. For we know not the hour when the Lord shall come. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray. And be ready to enter the soul's bright home. He may come in the early morning, he may come at close of day. Watch and pray in his promise, trusting. Watch, oh, watch and pray. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray. For we know not the hour when the Lord shall come. Watch, oh, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Oh, watch and pray. For we know not the hour when the Lord shall come. Watch and pray. Oh, watch and pray. And be ready to enter the soul's bright home. He'll reward the faithful. What a glorious day it will be. Joy awaits those who have made ready. Watch, oh, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Oh, watch and pray. For we know not the hour when the Lord shall come.
Let's pray. Hey, Father, we come to you in prayer thanking you for that all that you do for us and all that you've given us. Father, we pray that you be with this congregation as we move forward. We've got a lot of things happening, new exciting things that we're going to be implementing here that hopefully will grow your church and grow this congregation so that we can spread the word to more people. Father, be with us daily as we walk, that as we're out in public, that people will notice something different about us and want to know what that is, and give us the strength and the courage that when we notice that and notice those people, that we have the courage to talk to them and tell them what it is about our life that's different from those that may just be walking without you and walking lost. Father, be with the sick that we have here, the shut-ins that are in the bulletin. Be with each and every one of those. Be with the sick. And Miss Pearl, as she tries to get better and that she has the strength to come to church, I know it's an encouragement to me and everyone else when we see her come in and know that she battles to be here. It gives us strength in knowing that what we should do and make the extra effort. Father, be with this country and the world and the turmoil that's going on. Be with our leaders, that they'll make wise decisions and that they'll let you guide them and direct them in those decisions, Father. Be with each and every one of us. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The next song that we will sing this evening, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen. This is song 392 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All is wonderful passion and purity. Make his spirit divine, all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement that we will sing after our lesson. That song number is 368. Jesus Paid It All. Song number 368. That's an encouragement hymn that we will sing later this evening. Once you have that marked, the song that we will sing prior to this evening's lesson, Wonderful Story of Love. This is song 781 in our hymnals. Wonderful Story of Love, song 781.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strength. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love.
you have a Bible with you tonight, or you would like to grab one out of the pew, we're turn to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. From now on, we're going to be studying, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Still, we'll refer to some other translations from time to time, but this is where I'm going to be reading from now on. It says in verses 13 and 14, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by God, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification, by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's always so important to take passages in context with what you're reading, because if you read just verse 13, you would think that God chose a certain people and not everybody would have the chance, right? But it tells us how they were chosen in verse 14, "to which you call, which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we were called to God by the gospel, by the good news of Jesus Christ. And then those that chose him became the chosen of God. So let's back up and look a little bit more at verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord." Well, I mean, that's a good place to start, isn't it? That we have always decided to give thanks to God because of you. And who is God thankful for? Who does God love? God loves everybody, doesn't he? Who does God want to choose? Yeah, right. If God loves everybody, he wants to choose everybody, doesn't he? So, and Paul says, we're thankful to God for who you are. And so, we must realize this and think about it, and think about the people that are around us tonight, but in life, and thank God for them. I thank God for you. Because, well, first of all, you choose to follow Christ. And he goes on to say, What's the because? Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. And there's a comma there. And we realize from what I talked about just a minute ago that he's going to explain more about that. But from the beginning, he chose you. He wanted you to be sanctified. Sanctified means to be holy, right? So God chose us for a specific purpose. He chose us to be holy in him, to be right before him. That's why God chose everybody. He chooses us so that we can be holy in him. Why did Jesus die on the cross?
To redeem us from our sins.
To redeem us from our sins. When we're redeemed from our sins, what do we become? Holy, sanctified, right? And so we see that we've been made holy because Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible tells us, God wants all men everywhere to be saved. He loves everyone, for God so loved the world that he chose us. And he wants to sanctify us, wants to sanctify everyone, but there are only those, not everybody chooses to follow him, do they? So when we choose, God has already chosen us. I mean, wants us to be his. So when we choose him, we become his chosen. The ones that have accepted his invitation for sanctification and holiness. And of course, by the Spirit, belief in the truth, sanctified by the Spirit, sanctified by God's plan, God's will, God's Spirit, and belief in the truth to which you are called by our gospel. So we have been called by the gospel of Christ, and when we choose him, we become, and obedient to him, we become sanctified. We become made holy. And you've heard me talk about this before, but that's why he calls every Christian saints in the New Testament. If you're a child of God, you've been made holy, and holy ones are saints in God. We know that many, many times more we're called saints in the New Testament rather than Christians. Christians only used a couple times. And so we are, and Christian is fine. Christian is a good name. And we're called brothers and sisters in Christ when we're in church. But mostly when he's addressing the churches, he's addressing the saints that are in Christ as he writes the letters. And, of course, we must remember that God does this. He created the world for us. He sent Jesus to redeem the world for us, but also for him. God wants us to be with him. And that's what he says at the last part of this verse. The reason that we've been called to our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give God and give Christ the glory and to honor him. We sing a song, Hallelujah, Praise Thy Name, right? Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, right? Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. And, I mean, there's so much of this in the Psalms. Read the Psalms. As you read through the Psalms, you find these praises over and over and over again of the people giving praise to God. Okay, I'll stop here. Any questions or comments down through these first two verses? Yeah?
Where the New King James used the word bound in that fourth word of that verse, in the footnote, my Bible says under obligation.
No, what? But where does it say bound?
Yes, in the fourth word of that verse, but we are bound.
Oh, but we are bound, okay.
Yes.
Where, and what does it say?
Under obligation is in a footnote.
Right,
there.
That is, we're so, committed, right?
Yes.
We're no, bound, yeah, we're committed.
That wasn't a compelling, it was against their will. I mean, they gave thanks because that's what's proper to do. And for that reason, I mean, that's what binds the faithful together to one another, right? I mean, we're not bound against our will towards one another. We who are brethren, as it says here in this passage, are bound to one another, and we are bound to give thanks through that same binding. The choosing there that's mentioned in that verse, God has chosen everyone that believes on the truth and acts on that belief that they're going to receive salvation.
That's for sure.
So, you know, that's the choice that God made, is to save through that avenue. You know, if you believe and you act on that belief, then salvation is yours. There is no exception to that rule.
Well, I think one thing, the word here too, these words we've been using for bound and such, it's our choice that we bind ourselves to God. And God doesn't force his binding upon us, but he offers it to us so that we should choose to give ourselves, that when we accept his salvation, we accept his redemption, that we are making that commitment, that binding to God. And so Paul says, we don't have any other choice because of who we are, I think, don't you?
Yes, I believe that.
Good. Anyone else? Okay, let's move on. Let's read verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by the word or our epistle. Stand fast and hold the traditions. You know, sometimes we shy away from this word traditions. But Paul, another word that is used in other translations is teachings. Paul says, you might hold fast to the teachings to which you were taught, or traditions. Paul says, this is what I have given you. So there's right, we could say in a way that there's right teachings and there's wrong traditions. Did Jesus condemn the traditions of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?
Yes.
Why?
Because they made them equal to God's commands.
That's right. They created their own traditions, didn't they?
Yes.
And made them equal to God's commands. We know that all of the things that they added to the Old Testament was huge compared to what actually the Word of God said. But there is traditions, in this case, teachings or traditions that are correct. And Paul says, I want you to hold these things. So as we think about this for ourselves, he's been talking about, you've become a Christian, you've accepted the gospel, you have chosen God and He has chosen you. Now, I want you to not change from the teachings. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1, if you would, for a minute, please. Galatians 1, and you know these verses probably, right? Verses 8 and 9. Actually, let's start in verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul's very strongly here in Galatians, and excuse me, also here in Thessalonians, says don't change the message that I have given you. You must keep it and not change it. I think the reason that we have so many different churches, so many different beliefs, if you will, about God, is because people have changed the message of God. And what we need to do is that if this is what God says, this is what we need to accept and follow. Jamie? Oh, I thought I saw you raise your hand back there. You know, I think it's really important that we really, you know, he says, stand fast or hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by the epistle or by the letter that you're reading, by the letters that you have received. Hold fast. And it's so easy for us to say, well, I don't know if that's what it really means. Or I don't know, you know, I mean, people say, you know, that doesn't seem right to me, or what God really surely wouldn't want us to do that. You know, these are the kind of things that I've heard people say. I said, well, do you believe the Bible to be true? If we believe that the Bible is true and from God, then we are obligated to follow it because that's what God has given to us.
Hey, Doug.
Sir.
So, my footnote gives another definition or word. It gives instruction.
Instruction, that's good, yeah. That's what some of the other translations sometimes get. They use the word teachings. But instructions, I think, is a good word there, don't you?
Right. I mean, yeah, because you could look at it as, you know, with anything else, if you don't follow the instructions, you're not going to get to the end result the way you should.
That's right. that's what I think about. Men get a really hard time about putting baby cradles together, you know, or something, because they can't get it together because they don't follow the directions. They just want to do it. James?
I'm just going to make a comment that just because the New King James says something about tradition, traditions a lot of times are for man in the first place, and instructions would be good, and teaching is good because that would guide us toward what God has commanded, and sometimes traditions get in the way. And because they're not always accurate. Or
right.
Something Johnny started 25 years ago, and then it gets off the track and even further off the track. because it's a tradition. And so I think those two words are much better in this.
In this case, I think so too, yeah. Yes, James.
I agree with that. And right there in Galatians, where you were before, if you just skip down a few verses later in that, Paul says, no, I'll just read this. He says, I advanced to Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers.
The traditions of the fathers.
Yes, and then he goes on and he said, but when God revealed Jesus to me, I left the traditions behind. Kind of paraphrasing what he says next.
I understand. Yeah.
When God revealed Jesus, then all those traditions, they didn't mean so much anymore. Mm-hmm. You realize the falseness of them. But that's not what he's talking about in Thessalonians. He's not talking about the traditions of his fathers. He's talking about the teachings, just like other translations or the instructions. Certainly a distinction there.
Right. I think there's a big difference, too. And I wanted us to see that, and to see that it's important that it's not the same thing as the traditions of the fathers and traditions of men, but it's the Word of God that he's teaching, telling them to hold on to and not change.
I think traditions, because in the King James it says traditions.
It does, yeah.
So the definition over time in our mind has changed to be what you traditionally do instead of teachings, where when that was written, that's what it meant. And today we have a different definition of traditions.
Well, I think so. Again, part of the King James and the New King James, especially the King James, was that in the time in which it was written, and maybe that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is what they knew what it meant when it was during that time. That was, you know, teachings or instructions, the meaning of the word. We don't carry that meaning much anymore today.
Right. And, I mean, the Jews, one of the things we've already mentioned really was that the Jews had so many traditions of men, you know, that they had added to. So the distinction was important there. Thank you.
Which then would have been called teachings of men.
Right. Well, it could be called the teachings of men too. The same word.
Yeah.
All of our Bibles are in English, right? We don't have the original language in front of us today. If we did, we couldn't recognize it. We wouldn't understand what it said. But I don't know what the Greek word here that's been translated as traditions is.
I looked up the. I don't know if I could tell you the Greek word right now, but when I looked up the word, it meant, of course, it. What I have in the Greek as it refers in the Greek lexicon, but it uses the King James words again, and so. But it said traditions or teachings,
mm-hmm.
And then when you look at the NIV in particular, it said teachings, and when you look at, I mean, that's one of the words. I like what the words instructions there. I think fits really well also. Very good, very good. Okay, let's drop down again. Let's read 16 now through the end of the chapter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Well, again, it's a kind of a blessing. I mean, it's a blessing that he is saying here and giving to them as he finishes up his thoughts. And of course, he hasn't finished it yet because he goes on to chapter 3. It says, you know, and the blessings, of course, are Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, who has loved us, right, and given us everlasting life, given us everlasting. Now, we've got to run across another one of those words, consolation. The New American Standard uses the word comfort, and the NIV uses the word encouragement. Are you reading NIV? No, we don't have that tonight. Okay. I looked up the Greek word here, and there were two words that they were given to me that I never, in English, that I never heard of before, and I couldn't even tell you what they are now without, you know, turning to it and looking it up again. But one is consolation, one was comfort, and I think the word encouragement fits there also.
Yeah, I don't see much difference in those three words.
Consolation, I had to look it up because I didn't know what consolation meant. And it means comfort and encouragement is what it means. So, has given us everlasting comfort and good hope by grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. So, what he's telling us is that the love of God has given us these things, right? Has given us comfort and given us, has given us hope and great hope by grace. You know, grace is what, of course, is what saves us in the fact that it's everything that God has given to us that we couldn't do ourselves. And it's by, that's where our hope, our assurance, remember when the Bible uses the word hope, it's talking about assurance, that has given us assurance, not something we hope for like a wish, but an assurance that we have. Another one of those words that changes over time.
The NIV says, verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Eternal encouragement, okay.
Yeah, that is eternal or everlasting part. That's the important part.
It is, yeah.
The comfort that we get on a daily basis goes by the wayside. I was comforted yesterday in some ways, and those ways probably don't do much for me today. But this is a comfort that never goes away.
Well, it starts, it's not just when Christ comes again, but it's always, we have it now and forever.
Yeah.
Right? And I just, and I've heard this said, but it's so true. I just don't know and how people can really get along in life when really hard things come along and they don't have God and Jesus. We need him so much in our lives.
Amen.
And notice what it says at the end of this. Establish your heart, and this is verse 17, and establish you in every good word and work. So if you want to know how to do the right kind of good job, good work, and teach the right kind of word, this is it, through God, through his comfort, through his gospel, through his eternal salvation, through and all these things we've been talking about up to this point so far this evening. And God has given us the direction we need through his word and also how we carry that out in his work. Okay, let's go on to chapter 3. Excuse me for just a moment. Okay, let's read the first couple verses. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Again, Paul asks for prayers. If Paul wasn't too shy or whatever to ask for prayers, should we? Is it be okay to ask for prayers? I need prayers for strength, I need prayers for guidance, and so on. Do you need prayers?
Yes.
I need prayers. You know, we need to be, and it makes such a difference, you know, sometimes when not only people say, pray for me, and to say, I prayed for you, but if you have the opportunity, pray for them right then and there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a comfort to have people pray, hear people praying for you. And the Bible talks about that. You know, and encourage one another, you know, with prayers. Pray for us, Paul says. Why? That the Lord, the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Paul was saying, pray for me so I can be able to spread the word of God. And it'll be right, it'll go quickly. And it will be, and it'll happen, you know, that it's going to go fast. So many times, I think it's easy to think that, boy, this it so takes so long to bring one soul to Christ. But Paul says, pray that it would go, we'd get this done, it would start moving, and it would go well. Pray swiftly. Hear that God hears and answers your prayers. What's your, I mean, you think about right now, and I don't ask anybody to raise your hand unless you want to, but think about your greatest need that you wish right now. Do you pray that God, someday maybe this would happen? I mean, or do you say, thank you, God, for hearing and answering my prayer and bringing this about in my life? God can and will answer your prayers, our prayers. And that we may be, verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Can I get an amen to that one? Not all have faith? And he says that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So, how do we know that Paul had, what's indication that we know that Paul faced wicked and unreasonable men?
Got beaten up.
Got beaten up. Got thrown in jail. What?
Out of the city.
I'm sorry?
Out of the city.
Yeah. He was kicked out of the city. He was just... We could go on and on. We look at 1 Corinthians, you know, and it tells us all that big long list. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, about chapter 11. And it's just, he goes on and on. And in other places he talks about, several places he talks about all the things he suffered. So Paul faced some unreasonable men and wicked men. There's going to be people in our world today that are going to take advantage of us, that are going to lie to us, that are going to cheat us. And we need to understand that God's Word wants us to understand that, but still, what does He tell us to do when we face wicked people? What should we do about it? Sharon? No?
Let God deal with it.
Definitely let God deal with it. Should we... What? Repay evil with good. Turn to Romans chapter 12. The end, towards the end of the chapter. Starting in verse 19. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heat coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
That's what Jesus did for me.
That's right. Jesus did that for us, didn't he?
Yeah, I was his enemy at one time.
When we were sinners, we were enemies of God. Without, and before we came to Him. Let's go back to our text. In 2 Thessalonians 3. Any other thoughts through those first couple verses? Okay, verse 3 and 4. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. We need to remember that God is faithful. If God is true, if God cannot lie, Does it become to make sense that God is faithful? That He's going to be faithful to us? Even when we're not faithful, the Bible tells us in other places. Even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. God will always be Himself and true to us. Who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Now He's just asked for prayers for those that are unreasonable and wicked men. And now he says, God is going to establish you and guard you from the evil one. If God is going to protect us and help us, That doesn't mean there's not going to, did Paul, even though God, Paul trusted God, did he not? God believed in God, that God would deliver him, right? But still he went through many persecutions, so many sufferings that he suffered through. And yet he says God is going to deliver you from the evil ones. I think about Paul when he was on the ship going towards Rome, and the ship was shipwrecked, remember? And there they built a fire, and Paul was around the fire, and a viper came and bit his hand. And everybody was waiting for, the people on the island were waiting for him to die. And he just shook it off, and when he didn't die, of course they thought he was a god of some kind, right? And Paul, of course, told them, no, it was not he, but God that had delivered him. But Paul was delivered through evil times. I mean, he was put in prison in Rome for a considerable period of time. But you were told that the whole Praetorian Guard, the whole guard of the Roman government, emperor, was guarded him and heard the gospel. You know, so God can use us. And the thing is that it's not that we always overcome it, but God will always help us through the difficult times. And we'll have difficult times, but God is going to be there with us and helping us through those times. And then, of course, he says, because of that, verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. See, we know that you're going to follow God's will. We have confidence that you're going to obey the will of God. We need to trust each other. We need to trust that the people that are around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are going to strive to do the right thing and believe to do the right thing. Sometimes trust is broken, and it's hard to reestablish that trust. But understand, who's the only one that was always trustworthy? Jesus Christ, right? So does that mean that everybody else at some point in some time wasn't trustworthy? Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter said, no, Lord, I would never do that. He did it within 24 hours. So we need to understand that we are humans and we make mistakes and nobody's perfect, but that we should learn to trust each other, because we trust that our brothers and sisters are walking in the light as he is in the light, just as we're trying to do the same thing, right? And therefore we can rely upon God and know that these things are going to happen. He says, both that we do and will do the things we command you. So that's very important. It's like saying, I believe that you're going to do the will of God. I know you're going to trust him. And to know and believe that we can trust each other. Let's read one more verse and then we'll conclude for the evening. Now, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Again, take this in context with everything we have read and studied tonight. I want God to guide you. I want God to direct you so that you will have into the love of God, so you will know the love of God as God intended to love you and to know it. So this should be part of our prayers maybe for each other. Lord, help my brothers and sisters in Christ learn to love God and have patience in him and walk in him and trust in him. Into the patience of Christ. How patient was Christ when he was here? Can think about those apostles. How he had to teach them and reteach them and say the same thing to them over and over again. I mean, at least, well, several times, I'm going to say at least 3 times, I think it was more than that. But he told them that he was going to be taken by men, he was going to be beaten and crucified and raised again on the 3rd day. And they still didn't get it. It went like over the top of their heads and not into their hearts. They just didn't grasp it. Didn't grasp it. It's possible that the man that they knew and the man that was so powerful could walk on water, could raise the dead, that this could happen to him. But you see, we need to trust and be patient, have the patience of Christ. Is Christ patient with us today? He is very patient with us. I am so thankful that he's patient with us. Because we're not always the answer. We don't always have the directions and the answers that we want, that we try to live. It's easier to say than to do, isn't it? It's easier to say, I'm going to do this, and it's easier to say we should do this, and then to do it, right? God, be patient with me that I become better at it, that I become more holy, that I become more pure, that I fight off sin and darkness out of my life. Well, you know where you need God's patience, don't you? And just know to turn and trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. God just cares for us so much, and we are so blessed because of him. So as we finish up tonight, and our classes, our students are still downstairs, ring the bell again. It's good that we have kids downstairs. I'm really thankful for that. but I'm not being patient enough.
Just gotta wait until they get up here.
What's that?
You just gotta wait until they get up here.
I know. Well, I didn't even realize I bought a ticket to fly down to Texas for Thanksgiving. And I bought it while the government was still on strike, if you will, was shut down. And it didn't even dawn on me that that might affect my flight. Well, it was about 2 days later that I heard that the government went back to work. It was like, whew, you know, I'm glad. And I'm sure there's maybe thousands and thousands more people that wanted to take flights that had felt the same way. Come on in, you're fine, guys. Come on in. Isn't that what Grandpa's for? Good to bounce on the knees? Okay, I guess what we're talking about is that, as we think about as we conclude tonight, that God has given us an opportunity to come to him. He has called us, he has chosen us, he wants us to be saved, he wants us to be free from sin, because Jesus died on the cross to free us from our sins. He's chosen us, chosen every one of us. The choice that we have to make right now and every day, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But we have to choose him. But when we choose him and really give our hearts and souls to him, we bind ourselves to him. We determine that God is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I'm giving my heart and my life to you, Father, so that I can be baptized into Christ, to be raised to walk in newness of life. And then the Bible, Jesus said to us, take up my cross daily and follow me. So it's every day that God has called us, we choose again every day to come and follow him. So won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength in me is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now in need I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I want to encourage you maybe to pick up lesson number one of the little books that we've been talking about, Back to the Bible, and look at it, because we're going to see and follow the illustration in that first book in our lesson tomorrow and Sunday morning. And so it might be good. And also, he talks about a survey. And if you have one of those books that we passed out earlier, a couple weeks ago, about evangelism and such, about, well, I don't know exactly what page, I shouldn't look at what page number, but the survey that he's talking about is in that book. So you might want to look it over, get your book out and look it over, so you can be ready for that as well.
In a moment, we're going to be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list, those of our number that cannot be with us regularly, or maybe some that haven't been here in quite some time even. Let's encourage them. Let them know that they're important to us. They're important to our God. To just an encouragement to keep their faith and the resolve to faithful living, and God can bless in ways that we fail to recognize at times. So when we were looking at the lesson tonight about Paul asking for prayers, people sometimes say all we can do is pray. Well, that's a lot. It's a lot. So remember people in your prayers this week. Remember each other. I'm going to be traveling. I'd appreciate it if you prayed for me. And Lord willing, I will be back here, and I'll have a full pew on Sunday morning. I look forward to that, and look forward to being back with the church on the Lord's Day. Is there anything further before we go to God in prayer? If not, let's give thanks.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that we have to come and hear another portion of your word. We thank you for Doug that brought us to class this morning, and that he had a ready recollection of the lesson that he's prepared for us. And let us take this lesson about Paul and apply it to our lives and see that we can be strengthened by the ways and means that Paul did things, and that we can come always follow through. And we pray for the ones that are not here this morning or this evening, that ones that are sick and afflicted, the ones in nursing homes, the ones in shut-ins, the ones that wish their health could be more substantial so they could get out. And we pray that you would restore their much-wanted health. And we pray for the ones that need procedures and are under care of the doctors and nurses. And we ask that you guide the doctors and nurses and let them use the skills that you give them to help heal these individuals. And we pray always that you give us a ready recollection of your plan of salvation and be able to help people to understand Jesus, understand you, that they can follow your plan of salvation and be added to the church. And help us to have that ready recollection and be prepared when the time comes. For we know one day that we'll be told, we'll be asked to answer, and there's a home in heaven waiting for us, and there could be a home in hell waiting for us. and we're the only ones that can make that decision. But help us to have a ready recollection, help these individuals learn more about you, to be prepared to know what they need to do. We ask that you be the ones, as James mentioned, the ones that are traveling in the next few weeks for the holidays. Please keep these individuals safe and get them to their destinations. And please be the ones that are needing to have people with them during the holidays, the ones that are lonely, the ones that sometimes fall through the cracks. And we ask that you help us to maybe check on these individuals and help them out in their time of need. And we pray for the leaders of our country, that they lead us in a way that they look towards you and guidance for what they do. And not only the leaders in our country, but the leaders throughout the world, that they can strive for peace. We thank you for Jesus, who gave his life on the cross and shed his blood for the remission of sins of all mankind. And at this time, we please ask you to forgive us of our sins as we turn from them. Please be the ones that are in our military, the ones that throughout the world that are trying to help keep the peace in the world, that are affording the freedom that I have to be able to come here and worship you freely at any time that I want. And we ask that you watch over these individuals and take care of their families. We ask now that you take us to our homes and guide us. Bring us back at the next appointed time, and all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.